Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Menachos Lamed Hey. We begin on Lamed Daled Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Chananel, Amar in the name of Rav. Hechlev Parshis Sel. Suppose one places the Parshis into the Tefillin in the wrong sequence. Okay, so as we learned yesterday, not only are you meant to actually write the sections as they are in the Torah in the same sequence, Kaddishli followed by Voyakviyacha, etc., as they are sequenced in the Torah, you meant to place them into the Tefillin in that order as well, if you switch them around. So, for instance, in the Tefillin Shel Roish, which is comprised of four compartments, you mixed up the Seder, you mixed up the order. Psulis. So your Tefillin is Pasul. Amma Bailo Yamar, and it's only a concern. Elo Gavyasa Levrayasa. If the Parsha, which is meant to be internal, was put on the side, sort of facing the outside. So you have the four compartments in the Shel Roish. Let's call them one, right, starting from the right side. One, which is sort of facing the outside, right, exposed to the, followed by two, which is sort of sandwiched between one and three. So you have one, two, three, and four, again, is sort of exposed to the outside on the left. It says, Abaye, the concern is only if you switch them in a drastic form. So you take the external one, you place it inside, or vice versa. Elik v'yasa, the internal one, you made it an external one. Ubriyas. Griyas, Alibriyas, you turned that into an external one. Or vice versa. Ubriyas, you took one from the outside, let's say number one. Ligavyas, you turned it into number two, an internal one. So it's drastic. Reconfiguration is a problem. Aval Gavyas, Ligavyas, but if you just switch internal to internal, so you switch around two and three, or likewise, external with external, like 1 and 4, there's no concern. Amalei Rav, it's a Rav response. What's the difference? Maishna gavyos labriyasa. What's wrong with internal to external, or the other way, uvaryasa, if you take the external one, the one on the outside, and you put it on the inside, the gavyasa, the law, that doesn't work because you've drastically reconfigured it. The hach deboy lemechsi avir, because for instance, number one, which is meant to be exposed to the avir, to the air, open to the outside, now cannot do so. Loika chazir is not going to be exposed to the outside. It's sandwiched. And vice versa as well. You take one that's meant to be covered and you expose it. Vahada loika boila mechsi avir, and the internal one, which is meant to be covered, kachazir, is now open and exposed. Chazi literally means it sees, right? It sees the air. So then I understand, well, if so, even just a slight switch over, like from 1 to 4, or 2 to 3, okay, it's still relatively in the same position, but it's in the wrong side, right? Baryas la baryas, you take one outside one, you switch it with the other outside one, or v'gavyas l'gavyas, or two internal ones which are switched with each other, not there as well. You have drastically reconfigured it. It's the wrong side, facing the wrong way. Hachtavoy l'mechsi avir dimin, the parasha which up until now was meant to face the right ear, the ear on the right side of the person, is facing the left side, and vice versa. Chachazavir the smile, or the smile, the one that was meant to be facing the ear on the left side, is now facing the right ear space. Elo Shnod says, Rav, it really doesn't matter. Any switch, any reorientation disqualifies a tefillin. Ve'amar Rav Chananel Amar Rav, another halacha regarding tefillin, titura, this bridge, Rashi explains. So, as we learned yesterday, you take one piece of leather, when it's still soft and pliable, this is to make the, let's say, the Shel Roish. You force it over a form which has four protrusions, to make those four compartments, and then eventually it, you know, dries and hardens and you sort of configure it into a proper square. But then you have the extra piece of leather sticking out that's going to be folded beneath the compartments and cover them like a bridge over a gap, over, you know, an empty. So that's a tetura, the bridge, the cover on bottom of the box of the tefillin. That's part and parcel of its integral design. It was halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, taught to Moshe Rabbeinu back at Sinai. Amar Rabbi, what else is halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim? Ma'avarata the tefillin. The sort of tunnel through which the strap is pushed. So this folded piece of leather that we spoke about that folds beneath the tefillin, so at the point of the fold, there's an extra section there which is meant to remain hollow, into which they push the strap, which will now hold the box, secure the box, the person's head and arm. It's a mavarta, the go-through. The tefillin, that's also not just a practical thing, it's also halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim, it must be there. Varambaya, what else? Shin shel tefillin. The leather shin, the letter shin that we design in the leather of the tefillin, one on either side of the tefillin shel reish, is also halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. Interestingly, the Rishonim say that we do a three-legged shin on one side and a four on the other one. I saw an interesting pshat from the Rishonim. What's the point of a four-section shin? In the actual, you know, Torah, we write a three-section shin. So what's the point of a four-legged shin? So the Rishonim explain. It's meant to resemble the shin that was in the Luchos back on Har Sinai. You see, over here it's protruding, right? Sort of form it in the leather as a protruding leather. Leather. In the Luchos, it was actually engraved. Inverted, right? Into the stone. Now, just picture it. Suppose you're engraving a shin with three legs. Let's just ignore what you've engraved. Let's look at the material that remained. You know, the stone material surrounding the engraved shin. What does that look like? Think about it. It looks like a four-legged shin. Right? Picture a four-legged shin into which they engraved a three-legged shin. So the four-section shin on the tefillin is meant to resemble that type of shin as well. The shin of the luchas. Very interesting shot. So you have two variations, a regular shin, like a Sefer Torah shin, that's on one side a three-part shin, and then the other side we have a four-part shin, like the shin of the Luchos. Okay, v'tzorach shiagia charitz l'mokim atfar. Now, yesterday we spoke about the charitz, that's the dividing line between the compartments and the shel reish. So that division is meant to be obvious, meant to be visible, discernible on the outside of the tefillin, right? From the outside, you're supposed to see these sections, and it's meant to go down till the makom ha'tefar basically means the base of the tefillin where they sew. So it's meant to go to the bottom. Interestingly, by the way, speak about the charitz, it has to actually be the dividing line between the sections. So a couple of years ago there was a big tumult because they discovered that some unscrupulous or unprofessional filmmakers they fooled the crowd. They basically they had four sections in the shel reish, right? But let's say they weren't really all proportionate. They weren't, you know, perfectly equal, the four sections. You had a thicker section, a thinner section, so it wouldn't look nice from the outside. So what they did was, they just painted a thick layer of paint over the four sections, so you would no longer see the divisions, and then they took some sort of tool, and they marked. They made four nice lines, equal, even, proportionate lines on the outside, three lines corresponding to the four sections, and people would think, okay, that's the charitz, those are the sections. In reality, it was merely just a superficial mark on the outside of the leather, and that was invalid. It's not kosher. So this big tumult arose, and somebody discovered it, and they had to Everybody had to run to go check their tefillin. I took my tefillin about a year or two ago. I went to this professional sefer. You know what he did? He took this really sharp knife. Basically, they had to test, had to determine whether the marks on the outside, the charitz that we're talking about, are really representative of the actual placement of the section. Was it merely just a mark on the outside? So he took a knife and he ran it between, ran it into the indent, into that, you know, mark, and he could tell whether he was going through hard leather or whether he was actually just sliding between real sections that were lying behind that mark. And Baruch Hashem, my tefillin was okay. He went through all the dividers and they all just slid, you know, he didn't cut the whole thing down a little bit, but he was able to tell by the feel and by the pressure that it was really the dividing mark between two actual sections that were lying behind that mark. So the Baruch Hashem, the tefillin were kosher. But very important thing to keep in mind that the charitz isn't merely a marker. It's not just a superficial charitz. It's got to be a charitz, which goes through and through, which is actually the division between the sections. Okay. So that's the halacha. Rav Dimi ben Arda Amar, kiven de minkar lo tzarech. You don't have to have the charitz going all the way down. As long as you see some sort of division, that's enough. From Rabbi, hi kilfa the tefillin. Now let's move over to the sefer who writes the parshiyos. So you have the kilfa. Kilfa is like a cloth, right? The parchment. Tzarech lemivdik, you have to actually check it, pick it up, you know, in front of the light and check to see if there are any holes. The dilma isbe reusim, maybe there's something wrong. There's a hole. Will be in the ksiva tam of alekan. It's not going to be fulfillment of ksiva tam, properly, you know, properly written letters. It's going to be, you know, chopped and cut and missing, you know. Rav Dimi Nador Amar, he says, Litzorach, you don't have to check it in the light. Kulmusa badikla. Because even if it's a little pinhole in there, it's not an issue, because the kulmus, the scribes, you know, the feather that he uses to, the quill is going to check it for you, which means to say that if the kulmus can just write over it with the ink, and the ink sort of covers, fills in that little teeny pinhole, that's okay. That's not really considered a problem. Amar Yitzchak. Ritzuis, what about the straps? Okay, let's go over to the straps. What color are they meant to be? Ritzuis shchoreis, halacha l'mashmisin, is a halacha l'mashmisin, it has to be red, black. Black only. Meis v'yekabz akash, really? Tefillin ein kashvin ois nol b'mina. First of all, you're meant to tie the tefillin only with its type of material, with leather. You can't use, you know, threads and ropes. But in terms of color, unlimited. Ben Yeroikais, Ben Shchoiris, Ben Lavonais, green, black, white, it's all fine. Adumas Layas, he shouldn't do red. Hey, Gnai V'Derach, it looks inappropriate, Rashi says. Gnai means it would appear like he has some skin scrapings and it's getting red and bloody. The V'Derach, or maybe it got dirty, blood of a Nida, his wife. So in any case, don't do red. But otherwise, it's okay. Now, we're going to return to this in a moment. But the Brisa continues another interesting point with a story, two stories. Amar Yehuda, you say only leather is acceptable for tying the tefillin. Ma'i said there was a story, an actual story. B'talmidai. So Rabbi Akiva, Akiva's a student. Shei kosher tefillah v'lashon shel tcheles. He would strap his tefillin with blue wool. V'lo yomar leidavar. Rabbi Akiva's rabbi didn't have anything to say about it. Apparently he was okay. If sure, I said tzaddik. Can it be so that this great tzaddik Ra'a Talmida, he would observe his Talmud doing something unacceptable. V'leimichba, he wouldn't say anything. Amar Lo, the Chacham responded, hey, you know what? It's unlikely, but it could very well be that he didn't notice. He was busy learning. Davening L'ra'a, so he didn't notice what he was doing. And in fact, V'imra'a Oysa, had he noticed, Lo Yaya Menich, he wouldn't let him do it. Because in fact, you need to tie it with leather only. Shuv Masa, Hurkanus B'noi, there was another story with Hurkanus, the son of Shor B'leza ben Hurkanus. He was named same as his grandfather. Shaykosha tefillah v'lashayin shal argaman. So he too was strapping his tefillin with purple wool. V'layom le'davar, and his father didn't say anything. If sure, he said tzaddik, rab v'noy v'lamini chabay, can it be so that the tzaddik would see and he wouldn't say anything? If in fact, it wasn't appropriate. Amar lo, chacham say, yeah, hey, yeah. Lo'y ra asay, perhaps he didn't notice. V'im ra asay, lo'y manichay. Certainly, if he would have seen, he wouldn't have let him do it. Okay, in any case, let's go back to the beginning of the Brisa. What are the materials used for straps? Ketani Mir, the Brisa tells us. So what about the colors? We discussed the materials. What about the colors? Ben Yeroikos, Ben Shchoyos, Ben Lavonos. All colors are acceptable. Green, black, white. And here we say black only. The Kasha answers like this. Depends on which side of this graph. Kan vefnim kam bachutz. The outside, the smooth side, black only. Vefnim inside, do what you want. Says the word even vefnim. Okay, so if the Bryce is speaking about what's facing the person inside, so then what's the issue with red? Nobody will see it anyways. Ma'ik naiv derach ha'ik, what's the issue with zimnim sabchalik? You can, you know, flip around and it's going to be exposed for a moment, so that's why you keep red off the agenda. Okay, Tana, we learned in the Bryce at Tfilin Merubayis. Likewise, the squareness of the Tfilin is an absolute requirement. Ochmash Mesina, Marav Papa Bitfaran, Rashi explains. You have to make sure that it retains its squareness, even as you're sewing it and pulling it in all directions. You've got to make sure it stays square. And when we say square, it doesn't mean just in terms of, you know, symmetry as opposed to round. It means it has to be actually square, a proper square, to the point that the, let's say the tefillin is an inch by an inch, for example. So the elachsoinan there, the diagonal has to fit according to the ratio of a diagonal versus a square. So it's 1/5. Rashi says, okay. So basically, it has to be a perfect square. It can't just be like a rectangle or something. Leiva maseile. Perhaps we can prove this point from a brisa as well. That it has to be perfectly square. Is it, let's say, a gula? Let's say he does a round tefillin box. Sakana. It's something that's dangerous because Rashi says he can bump into the wall and could push into his head if it's round and pointy. And of course, Eimah Mitzvah, he hasn't really fulfilled a mitzvah, so we see round is an absolute. Yeah, I mean, square is an absolute. Amar Papa. Perhaps it's a bit different than that Brisa. Masnisa, Davidika Magoiza, perhaps the Brisa speaking that it was, you know, really pointy round, like a magoiza, like a walnut. And it's actually a Mishnah. So, yeah, perhaps that's really off. But who says if it's just a little bit round, you know, more like a square, just a little bit rounded, maybe that's okay. And that's what we need the halacha of Rav Papa to teach us, that it has to be perfectly square. Amar Rav Huna, tefillin. Let's say the you know, let's say a tefillin shel Rosh. You have the four compartments, and you know, eventually it develops some sort of damage, some sort of hole, so the compartment is punctured. Tefillin kol zman she pnei tavla chayem es ksheres. If the pnei tavla, the tavla here is just a lashon referring to the box, the tefillin box. Okay, so if the if the outside the pnei tavla, if the outside of the box is unpunctured, it's okay. So even though there's some damage inside between the compartments, Rav Chisda Amar, it depends how far you go. Nifsaku shtayim ksheirois sholish psuis. If two compartments split, got a hole, fine, but three is too much. Amar Rava explains, Rav, how the amras shtayim ksheres. When we say two is okay, la'amar and elosh zeh shle keneged zeh. It's only if they're not next to each other, according to one pshan Rashi, that the two compartments that are damaged aren't next to each other. According to another pshat, it means that the hole is not from one compartment into the other. So it's not going from two to three or from three to four. Avol zeh keneged zeh psuis, but they're next to each other, it's possible. Furthermore, v'zeh keneged zeh nami. And even when we say that next to each other is a problem, it's only an issue when it's, you know, a new, newly constructed, newly manufactured tefillin. So why is it snapping? Why is it falling apart? Apparently it's poor quality and it's possible. Aval ba'tik t'lasmav, it's old tefillin, so due to its aging, it's happening, that's okay. Amal abayi l'Rav Yosef. How do we define old and new? I mean, is it a matter of how old it is? Is it a matter of how much, how used it was? Hechadamin chadetasa. What would you define as new? How would you define the term old in this context? Amalei says, look, it's not about age, it's about, you know, the condition of the leather. Called hecha. This is the test. If you go ahead and ki mitli baby shalcha, you pull the leather, okay, give it a little tug, v'hadur cholam, and it just snaps back into place like a, you know, like a rubber. That's atikta. That's considered old and already settled. And in that case, even if there's some issue, it's okay. But if it doesn't have that ability to snap back into place, it's too firm, it's too fresh, then it's called new. Vinami, another pshat, we turn to Amud Beis. Vinami, another test would be, klecha dechi mitlei bei b'masna, if you would grab the ritzua, the strap, asya, but straight, the phone just quickly follows, there's no delay. Chadatasa, that's considered new. Vidach atikta, if it sort of lingers behind and stretches on you, then you know it's already old. Abaye, v'yasa, k'mei d'Rav Yosef. There was a story about Abaye, who was sitting in front of Yosef, ifsik le ritzua. So what happened? The strap, Rav Yosef's strap snapped. If Sekle Ritzua did tefillah. Amar Leis, Rav Yosef turned to Abaye with a question, Amar Lemiktrei, can I go ahead and reattach it? Can I sew them back together? Amar Leis says, can I tie them back together? He says, no. Amar Lekshartam, Ksiv. Ukshartam. Right, we learned the other day, Tam means Tam, complete. Right, no hodgepodging together pieces. Ksiv Sheikh Shiratam, you have to tie with a proper strap, a single strap, no pieces. Amale, Rav Acha Breder Rav Yosef, he told the Rav Ashi, he asked the question, Malu Mitzvah, what about if you do a proper professional mending, you do a proper stitch that you don't see on the some internal stitch, V'ailu Tfir Legav, and you direct the thread, the stitches, internally, so the stitch is not seen from the outside, only from the inside. Omar, he says, even that's not okay. Puk chazei, go take a look. Ma, amma, what are the people, the nation, what are the Jews doing? Mayam advar, what are they doing? And that's the way you do. And we don't find people mending their tzuis, put it to Seamus, and go find another one. Omar apap. So initially, the tzuis are meant to be configured in a certain length, right? They have a certain shear, as we're going to see soon. What if there's a... It's a little bit left over, remnants. So they got, you know, worn down, scraped off, and snapped off, and you have just a little bit remaining. Amar Papa Gardume Ritzuis Ksheris. Remnants of an original Ritzua works. The word disagrees, but Lav Milsi, it's incorrect. Why? Mida Amri B'nei Reb Chiya taught us that the idea of Gardumen, remnants, leftovers, are specific to mitzvah items. So, although they're meant to have a specific shear, like, you know, tzitzit, it's meant to be such and such size, but if they've been used and they've been rubbed out and you know, missing, that's okay. As long as there's something left. But by tefillin, it's a totally different entity. It's tashmishe kedusha, it has Hashem's name, it's a whole different thing. It has an absolute size, dimension, and shear, and no leeway on that. They say like this, Gardume Tcheles, the remnants of the Tcheles, of the Tzitzis threads, Gardume Ezev, of the Ezev grass used for the Paraduma, Ksheren, even if you have just a little bit left, that's okay. Hasam with the Tashmish Mitzvininu. So, from their statement, we learn that it's limited to those types of, you know, contexts of Tashmish Mitzvah, Hasam with the Tashmish Mitzvininu. So, there we say, a bit left over works. Aval hocha, but here by the tefillin, the tashmish kedusha ninu, the tashmish kedusha, they accommodate the parashas with Hashem's name, etc. Like, we don't have this leeway. They have to retain their shiur, otherwise they're pasul. Mechlal des lo shiur. Apparently, there's some sort of minimum size for them. Yeah, mekam shiurai. What's the shiur? I'm Rabbi Bachama. I'm Rish Lakish. She says like it's ad etzbat sreida until the finger called Etzrat Shreda, that's the one next to the thumb. What does that mean? Rav Kahana Machvi Kofef. Rav Kahana displayed it as Kofef. So he put out first and the second and third fingers. And that's how big the Ritzua has to be if I wanted the other. That's the minimum shiur. Rav Ashi, however, had a bigger shiur, Machvi Poshut. He would stretch the thumb from the first finger, which is a much bigger stretch, much bigger area. Rashi explains it's called Pashat because it's much wider compared to the first, you know, shear, which is much smaller. So it's called Kafav, sort of bent compared to the more wider shear. Now, other Rishonim have different interpretation of this Gemara, and they learned that the Ritzuos are meant to be way longer, and that's what we actually do today. Rabba Kotelu, Rabba would strapped the ritzuris, tied the tefillin on his upashid v'shado, and that he would send the rest of the ritzur behind him, sort of hang it behind him. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, however, katal hu maslis, after he would tie the ritzuris and the tefillin, he would maslis, Rashi says, like goydel, would sort of braid the extra strapping as it's hanging down. Marbrei darvino, the ravna of it, he would do like we do. We have long straps and we let it hang down in front of ourselves. Amar vidu vidar shilas bar, vidar of shmo bar shilas, mishmei de rab, he quotes rab, kesha shal tefillin. Halachal mishmei sinai. The specific design applied to the kesha shal tefillin, Rashi explains that you meant to tie the ritzuris in a manner that you configure Hashem's name. So you have first you have the shin up on the Shal Roish, as we explained before. Then you have in the strappings behind the neck, you have the straps configured like a dalad. And finally, in the Tefillin Shal Yad, where the kesher, where the knot touches the tefillin, you have a little piece of leather that sticks out and it's bent like a little yud. So you have the shin, the dalad, and the yud. So that's Halacha Mishmei Sinai, to have this arrangement. Amar Rav Nachman Noyein Levar. So Rashi has two pshatim. Noy is the prettiness, the nice element of the straps are meant to be facing out, meant to be levar. Two pshatim. Rashi's first pshat is the Shem Hashem, the Dal, the Yud are meant to be visible, and second pshat is that in the strap you have two sides. One is the smoother, right? So that's the nicer looking side. That's meant to be facing out. And the bumpy side facing the person. Rav Ashi, Rav Yosef, Gemeda, Rav Mazrutra. So what happened to Rav Ashi? He was sitting in front of Mazrutra. And Mazrutra's strap turned upside down. It's Hapchalei Ritzur de Tefillin. Amalei, so Rav Ashi noticed, and he says, Leisover Lamar V'nayin Lavari, what about the aloha that it needs to be, the nice part needs to be facing out? You don't hold that. I'm like, he says, I didn't realize, sorry. Of course. And he corrected it. We have a passage in the Torah which says, V'ro'u kol ami ha'oretz, ki shem Hashem nikro alechav yorim imeko. The goyim will take note of the shem of Hashem that rests upon Klal Yisrael, and they will be fearful of you. It will instill a fear and awe. Tanya, so which element of Shem Hashem is found on a person? That's a tefillin. Reza Godla Imer. Elu, the pasuk is referring to the tefillin Shebarosh. There's a bar, they say, I think from the Kotzka, tefillin Shebarosh. Should say tefillin Allah Rosh. On there, what's Birosh? The tefillin meant to be inside. And to internalize the message of the tefillin as you're wearing them. We have a pasuk in Shmois, Vasei Roisi es Kapi, Varisi es Achayri. So Hashem says, I'll allow you to see Achoyroi Kaviyachal Hashem's, the back. Amar Abchina Bar Bizna Amar Abrahim Chasida. It's a reference to the tefillin. Malamed Sheherolei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. We learned that Hashem showed Moshe Kesher Shel Tefillin, the knot of the tefillin Shel Roish, which is behind the, bottom of the head, behind the face, right? Rashi brings, based on the Gemara Brachos, we learned that Hashem Kaviyachal puts on tefillin to show his connection to Klal Yisrael. And that's what Hashem showed Moshe. Amar Yehuda Kesher Shel Tefillin. What's the significance of having the dalad, the kesher of the tefillin Shel Roish placed exactly where it is, in the bottom of the back of the head? Tzorach Shei Lamala. So firstly, it's meant to be high up, not down on the back of the neck. It's meant to be higher up. Why? Because it signifies our position of strength. Kadesh Yeh You, Yisrael Lamalo, V'loy Lamata, to empower Klal Yisrael to be on top, to be leaders, to maintain their prominence, V'loy Lamata, as opposed to being down. V'tzor Sheyeh Klapi Pnim, and the Kesher, although it's in the back of the head, but it's meant to be opposite the face. So ensure that it's actually on the top of the spine, not off to the side, because it's meant to be directly opposite the face. Why? Again, Kadesh Yisrael Lefnim Lil Achar, so that Yisrael will have the power to be Lefanim, in front, Lil Achar, not in the back. Okay, what about the bracha of tefillin? Amar Rav Shmuel bar Bidra Amar Rav. Amar Lassam say Amar Rav Acharich Amar Rav Huna. Amar Lassam say Amar Rav Nashe bar Shmuel. When does one say his bracha on the tefillin? Tefillin may masai mevarach alayim. When do you make the bracha? Mishasa nachasan, after you put them on. That's too late, ain't he? Is that so? Amar Rav Yehuda bar Shmuel. Shmuel himself tells us a bracha on a mitzvah is meant to take place before the act of mitzvah. Kol ha-mitzvah is cool. All the mitzvahs mevarach alayim, you make the bracha on them over. Prior, last year, and prior to doing them. By the way, the Ritva, I think it's in Psachim, he gives us two reasons why. It's a Rashba. Why bracha before the mitzvah itself? He says, because a bracha is avodas ha-nefesh. And that comes before avodas ha-guf. So the bracha is the sort of the spiritual manifestation of the mitzvah. It's avodas ha-nefesh. Verbalization of that bracha, it's avodas ha-nefesh, takes place before the physical aspect of the mitzvah. Number two, he says, a mitzvah, an act which is done through a bracha experience, allows the mitzvah to go much higher. It elevates the actual physical act, because it's accompanied by that bracha which was recited in preparation, in anticipation, leading into that act of mitzvah. In any case, bracha before the mitzvah. And here we say, first you put the tefillin on, then you make a bracha. Abaye v'Rava, they both answered like this. Damar Tabaye, they both answered. When he said that the bracha is mishas hanachas, and he meant mishas hanacha, sure, after he placed it loosely on his head or on his arm, v'ad kshas kshira, until he actually tightens it and firms it and sort of ties it. Because the tightening is the act of the mitzvah. Ksharatam lois al yadech, about it, right? So even though you already placed it on, that's not really the act of the mitzvah, it's sort of like the preparation. So you put it on, so you're as close enough to the actual act, which is the kshira, you make the bracha, and then you complete with the maisa of the kshira. So you've done the bracha before the mitzvah, as required. Okay, let's do a quick chazara. We spoke about flipping around the parshas and the tefillin, which makes it puzzle. How many aspects of the tefillin are halacha mishmir Sinai? The tetura, right, the bottom fold, the mavarta, where the strap goes through, the shin, the charitz, the ritzuis, having to be leather and black. Square, right? The kesher shel tefillin, meaning the shin and then the dal and the yud. All right, we spoke about damaged tefillin. At what point does it become possible? We spoke about repairing the strap if they snap. We spoke about the shear of the strap. We spoke about the shem Hashem nikur alecha tefillin shebaroish. The kesher shel tefillin Hashem shel Moshe Rabbeinu, and the exact timing of the bracha upon laying tefillin. All the best to you and hatzlacha rabba.